Well, good morning. Sorry for all the confusion this morning. We changed our order of service around a little bit, and it's going to take us a couple of weeks to get used to it, but it was a purpose to it, and prayerfully, we'll get all the kinks worked out of that here in a couple of weeks. But I want to tell you, it's great to be back. Tracy and I was able to attend a marriage retreat last weekend. I want to tell you, we left Friday afternoon. We were able to get to Memphis, where we were kind of a great setting for us. We were able to do some reconnecting ourselves and really spend some time with God as well. It was just a tremendous weekend for she and I, and we needed it. I want you to know we missed you guys. We wanted to be here worshiping with you, but we needed that time with just Tracy and myself without our children or anything else, and we had an opportunity to be a part of that marriage retreat with a few other couples and a few other pastors and pastors' wives. It was precious for us. But we're back this morning, and we're excited about being back. We're going to pick up where we have left off in Galatians. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to ask, do me a favor. If you have your Bibles this morning, hold those things up for me. I want to see those things this morning. Oh my goodness, just praise the Lord. If you didn't bring your Bible, bring it next week. That way you'll be able to raise yours up also. But I just believe that we should have these things in our hand, even though it's up here on the screen. Sometimes this screen messes up, or we just bring those Bibles, and then you'll be able to just mark it up and keep up with us. But Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7 this morning is what we're going to be looking at. And I am going to back up, and we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 29 as well when we read. We're going to look at that all the way through verse 7. But go on and get that marked in your Bibles this morning. I want to talk with you about moving. It's about transitioning your life. It's about being somewhere different than you used to be. And so a transition has to take place. You look at the title, it's from slave to a son. Or I guess for all of us to be included in that, from a slave to a sibling. And it's important that you grasp that, that you understand what we're talking about. This morning I'm talking to you about being an heir of the kingdom of God, about being a part of the family of God. And there's a song in the hymnal. It used to be on page 386 in the old hymn book. I remember it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Been washed in the fountain and cleansed by His blood. You'll have to help me remember it all. But we used to sing that song, and I remember it so vividly, singing that song. And I want to tell you, there was probably a point in there somewhere for a lot of us where we sang that song so regularly and so faithfully at the last church that I pastored, that we really lost the connection of what it meant to be a part of the family of God. I want to tell you, though, it really means something to be a part of this family. Amen? It means something. It's important that you understand that. I love my family. I love my mother. I love my father. I love my grandmothers and my children and my wife. And family is important. Can we all agree on that this morning? Family should be the second most important thing in your life. God should be number one. You need to make that statement. God should be first and foremost. And then following God, it should be your family. And family is so important. It means something. And we look at the scripture this morning, we see what God's word has to say about this. And there's a process that takes place. But I want to tell you, I'm so excited about what we see in the scripture this morning. And so I have three points that I want to share with you. But before I do that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His word. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, all the way through chapter 4, verse 7. Would you follow with me? And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have to get that verse right there before you can understand any of the rest of it. If you belong to Christ, it says, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs. You're a part of the family of God, is what the scripture says. You are heirs according to the promise. Now, as you look at the promise, you remember we talked several weeks back about the Old Testament pointing to Jesus all along. And we see that with the promise of Abraham's seed. Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise of that seed that would come. One seed, not many seeds, but the one seed, and you're an heir of that promise. Now, chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, doesn't differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world." But, I love that. Listen, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem, to buy back, literally, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Will you pray with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come this morning before your throne of grace. We're preparing our hearts right now. We've been lifting up our voice in song. We've been excited about singing. And then our children, they came and they led in our special, and we were excited about them. They were excited to be able to lift their voice up in song to you. And now as we communicate to you through prayer, Lord, we anticipate that you're going to speak to us as well, that you're going to speak to our hearts. And so we ask that as we come before your throne of grace right now, that you would begin to prepare our hearts to meet with you, that we would find this time where we study your word, that you're speaking to us directly. And then, Father, if there are those who are here this morning who have not yet become an heir, they aren't a part of the family of God, I pray that they would begin to be drawn by you even now as we pray, as we lift them up in prayer, and that by the conclusion of our sermon today, that they would feel you calling them in such a mighty way that they have to answer that call. And Father, we just ask that you would speak to us and that you would be honored and glorified. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. Amen. 3 things this morning I think are pertinent. I think these things are so important for you and I to get and to understand as a child of God, as an heir of God in Christ or through Christ. It's important that you understand how you became a child of God. It's important that you understand how you became a part of the family of God. Don't just assume that you're a part of the family. Know that you're a part of the family. So we're going to look at that this morning, and I pray that you get it, that before we leave, you have that aha moment where you're able to say, "I need Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior today." I pray that you come to that point in the service today where you're just so broken over your sin and over your lostness that you desire to come to King Jesus. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, there are 3 things that I want to submit to you according to the Word. Verses 1 through 3 and then verse 7 we're going to start in. And the first point that I want to make, if you have your bulletins, turn those over. You can follow along. Just a couple of words that you'll have to fill in there. But we're talking about being an heir of Christ. We're talking about being an heir of God, being a part of the family of God. And so the first point, number one, I want to share with you today is, as an heir, you are no longer a slave to this world. Listen, as an heir, you are no longer a slave to this world. I want you to look at the scripture. Listen to what the word says. We picked it back up in verse 29. It says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We established just a little bit about what it means to be an heir according to the promise. The promise was Jesus Christ coming, being born of a virgin, born in a manger, and living this perfect sinless life, that 3-year ministry that he had. And then at the conclusion of his ministry, he went to an old rugged cross. Listen to me, willingly. He was the perfect, spotless lamb who went to the cross to take away the sin of the world. And so literally what has happened now is, in order for anyone to become a part of the family of God, we have to be able to see what God did in order for us to be brought to Him. And as you look at this, I want you to see it had absolutely nothing to do with what you've done. It's everything to do with the seed, the promise, Abraham's seed. And He went to the cross. The perfect man went to the cross. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. But listen, you got to get this. We're coming into the Easter season, and you have to know the next part is the most important part of all of it. He rose on the third day. Amen. That means He's alive. Amen? And that means that you and I come today as children of God through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you, if you can't say amen about that, then you don't have an amen in your heart or in your bones at all, anywhere. And so it's all about King Jesus and what He's done. So verse 1 of chapter 4 says this: "Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave." And so here's that transition. What has to happen? We have to move from point A to point B. And as long as... Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, doesn't differ in any way from a slave, though he is the master of all. So you need to be able to see that contrast there. Even though an heir, there's still no difference from being a slave. And the reason is because there's so much still that we need to learn. Even though we're an heir and the master of all, we're still literally under guardianship, is what the word says. And we're going to look at that in a minute. And it says, but is under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. And so, big picture is this. For a Jewish son raised in a Hebrew family, he was an heir of the total estate. Imagine, if you will, that there was a massive estate that this son was due to receive. He's not yet prepared to receive it. First of all, his father's still living. And secondly, he's a child, so he would squander it. He wouldn't know how to handle it. He wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't know how to live. He wouldn't know how to rule over the rest of the family. And as a result of that, this is what the scripture says, under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Now, for a Jewish son, they came into manhood. They come into manhood according to their absolute blank. What is it? Custom. Thank you. That'll work. According to their custom. That's what I needed, brother. According to their customs, at about the age of 13, but they're not really able to receive the inheritance until they're 16 to 17. And so there's still that span in there where they have to learn. They have to understand how the family operates. They have to be able to see the big picture of all that was going on. And then at the appointed time, the father would release them as an heir, as someone who was able to rule over and to master what the father had given him. And that's what the scripture is talking about here. But they were under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. And then it says this: even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elemental elements of the world. And as we look at this, what I need you to understand this morning is, for you and me, as children of God, we have to be able to know that according to the Word of God, there has to be transition. We can't stay children forever. Amen? We can't stay the same. There has to be a point in our lives where we've come to that place and the Father has released us as a full-blown heir of the kingdom. In other words, now you're able to rule over what God has given you, what God has blessed you with, the inheritance that you have coming. But until that point, it says you're under guardians and stewards. I think about our children. Our children are so precious. They're so moldable. We can help form them and shape them to become everything that God the Father desires that they become. But it's important that we teach them at home, amen? It's important that we train them. It's important that we pray with them. It's important that we spend time in God's Word with them. We have to do that as their guardians, as stewards of our families. Do you hear me, men? Amen. You see, this is what God requires of us. And we come to that point where we've been training and we've been teaching and we've been hoping that they've been absorbing everything that we've been laying on their heart, everything that we've been sharing, because one day it comes to a point where they will leave the nest. And you hope, you pray, you trust that you've done everything that you can do in order for them to live a life that is well-pleasing in the sight of God the Father. Amen? That's what our job is as parents. And then also, we don't just do it at home. We bring them to church, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together, which is common to some. We come to church and we worship together. And listen, our children go to Sunday school and they're taught the Word of God. And it's important that they receive this training. Because one day, as an heir, they're going to be master of all. They're going to one day rule their families as well. And we see this through the Scripture, but the picture, as we begin to bring it down and understand it just a little bit, what does it mean to be an heir? What does it mean to be, as an heir, you're no longer a slave to this world? How many of you have ever seen the movie Ben-Hur? Was it Charlton Heston, I think, in 1959, 1960, somewhere in there, made this movie. And he was Judah Ben-Hur, and he was a Jew living in Jerusalem. But somehow something happened, and there was an accident, and he became a Roman slave. Now, this slavery was something, if you'll go with me for just a minute, it was different than maybe what you're thinking about Civil War slavery. He was in bondage, shackled. He had no freedoms to do anything. His feet were shackled. His arms were shackled. And he ended up on this ship, if you remember, in the bottom of the galley of this warship. And this ship was, he was rowing with all of the other prisoners who were down there with him. But they were shackled to themselves. They were shackled to one another. And then also, listen to this, they were shackled to the ship. There was nowhere for them to go. And if the ship began to sink, guess what's going to happen with the prisoners? They're going to drown. There's nothing for them to do. They don't have a choice. They don't have an option. They're not going to break free. They're not going to be able to remove the chains. That's what slavery in this sense really looks like. There's a point in our life where we're in bondage. We're in slavery to sin. And then when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we begin to move from this point in our life where we're slaves to being taught under the leadership of God and His Spirit as He dwells upon the fathers and the mothers, and we train our children in the way they should go so that when they are older, they shall not depart. Important that we be able to see that. This is what's transitioning here. The shackles are removed at that point, but we've got to make that transition. And so John chapter 8, verse 34 said this, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Can you agree with that this morning? If you sin, then you're a slave to sin. That's what the Scripture says. Now, there are so many times in my life where I've been caught in sin. I do. I'm not perfect. There's nothing good in me outside God's dwelling in my heart. And I'm so thankful that God lives in my heart. And you're thinking, well, Pastor, I sin too. You're thinking there's no way that I can keep from sinning. And a lot of people misunderstand. They believe, they think, they have this idea that when they trust Jesus as their Savior, that yes, God removes all the sin from your life. He does that. But we think there's this thought process that I'm not going to sin anymore. And what needs to happen for you is you need to understand that you're not in slavery to sin anymore. You're still going to struggle with it. You're still going to have moments where you fall. falter. There's still going to be moments where you're living your life and your desire is to honor God and you're walking along and you trip and you fall face first right in the middle of sin. But as you've heard me say hundreds of times, what happens next is the most important part of who you are in Christ. You have to get up and you have to dust yourself off and you have to turn your eyes back to King Jesus. That's how you know. The scripture says you'll know them by their fruits. Are you going to stay there in that sin? Are you going to wallow in it? Are you going to get up and you're going to dust yourself off? You're going to move forward with Christ. You are a forgiven sinner. Do you understand that? When you move as an heir, when you move from slavery to an heir or a child of God, that transition is, it should be visible. You should be able to see that. And so the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25, it says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Paul trying to explain about being saved, being sanctified by the blood of Jesus, being set apart. But he also understood that there were still moments in his life where he failed miserably as a child of God. And so the scripture says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This is Paul. He says that. "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God," he says, "through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And he's distinguishing, he's saying, you know, there's times in my life where because I'm a sinner, that I fall into sin. But I thank God that I don't have to live there. Do you know you don't have to live there? You need to understand that. As a child, as an heir, we're still learning, we're still growing, but you don't have to live in that sin. Whatever it is right now that's affecting your life, you don't have to live there. As a matter of fact, you need to get out of it. You need to move closer to God. This is where spending time in His Word, spending time in prayer, it's where all of this comes together. Paul, he didn't say that he was a slave to sin, but what he said is it was his sinful nature. He was a slave to the law of sin. Kind of give you an example if I can. What is this? The law of what? The law of gravity. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter what I do on earth, I'm not going to be able to get away from the law of gravity, Emma. The higher I jump, guess what? The harder I fall. I can land softly here, but I'm not going to do it, guys. But I know some of you are saying, "Do it. Come on, preacher, jump." But if I were to jump from here to there, I'm going to hit a whole lot harder than I am by doing this. It's the law of gravity. Nothing I'm going to do on earth is going to be able to separate me from the law of gravity. It's real. Same thing with the law of sin. Sin entered the world through one man. You remember that? In the Garden of Eden, sin entered the world through one. They disobeyed God. They saw that tree in the midst of the garden, and they could not stay away from it. And so they went for it. They went, and Eve took that fruit, and at the advice of the serpent, took a bite. It was so good and juicy. It was running down her face, and she was enjoying the pleasure of that sin unlike anything she had ever enjoyed before. And now all of a sudden, God is walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he says, "Where are you, Adam, Eve?" He knew where they were. He understood full well what had happened. They had sinned. And Adam looks behind a tree, if you can imagine. "Lord, we heard you coming, and so we hid ourselves because we were naked." Who told you were naked? Simple question. Should have had a simple response, but they didn't have a simple response because they had disobeyed God's word. And what happened at this point is amazing. This is what we do all the time, and it's about pointing blame to someone else. "She made me do it," she said. "He made me do it. Serpent made me do it." And all along, we had our Bible study last night at home, we have to take responsibility for ourselves. Can I get an amen? Amen. You're responsible for you. No one can lull us or lure us into sin. They can lure you into temptation, but they can't lure you into sin. That's up to you. And so we see that, and that's this law. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He tried to summarize the law of sin. He said, no man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good. Isn't that true? You don't know how bad you are until you try to be good. And on a different note, comedian Carl Sandburg said this, that there is an angel in me that wants to soar. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to soar as a child of God? Don't you want to soar? There is an eagle in me that wants to soar. And there's a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. And so there's this duel inside our hearts, inside our souls, is a struggle between good and evil. It's spiritual warfare, friends. I've told you before, it's real. It's as real as the flesh that is on your bones. It's as real as you sitting in those chairs. It's as real as me standing up and sharing with you this morning. That's that spiritual warfare that is going on over you right now. It's real. You might not see it, but you need to understand that it's real. And we see these things and we experience it, and it's time for us as children to break free. Do you know what happens with the law of gravity? How do you overcome the law of gravity? There has to be a force greater than gravity to carry on, and so there's aerodynamics. We understand that, right? There has to be a force greater. And so for you and I to be able to break away from the law of sin, something greater has to happen. We have to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the only one who can forgive us from our sin-ridden selves, the only one who is able to, with His perfect, spotless blood, the blemished-free blood of King Jesus when He went to the cross, died for our sins, and rose on the third day. He's the only one that's able to forgive us our sin. It's not possible any other way. That's why it's so important for Jesus to be Lord of your lives. Literally, He's in control. And so as an heir, you see this morning that you have to move. You're no longer a slave to this world. Can you say that this morning? I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave. Do you mean that? Do you see what God is trying to tell us? He says that as an heir, there comes a time when, even though we're God's children, we're still under guardianship and stewards. And He goes on to say right here, same thing in verse 7. He says, therefore you're no longer a slave but a son. I don't know about you, but I want to be a son. Amen? I want to be one who knows who God the Father is in my life. I want to be a child of God Most High. I want to be a part of the family of God. And I know for you this morning, your desire is that you be a part of the family of God. There's something special about being one of God's children, isn't there? And so, as an heir, you're no longer a slave to this world. Second thing, moving on. As an heir, you are sons and daughters of God. As an heir, you are sons and daughters of God. That means we've been talking about being a part of that family. Now you're able to see it. As an heir, you are a part of the family of God. As an heir, you've made it. Now, what is the one thing that allows you to become a part of the family of God? The blood of Jesus Christ. Confession of sin and asking Jesus to be Lord of your life. That's it. Nothing else is going to do that for you. And so the Scripture says in verse 4 and 5, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to, listen to this, verse 5, you've got to get it, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So here it is, in the fullness of time, this is what God did. When it was the right time, God sent His Son. We've already discussed it. He sent His Son to be born of a virgin, what the Scripture says. But who did it? Did you do it? God did it. That's what the Scripture says. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So as an heir, you are sons and daughters of God. This word redeem, it literally means to buy back. How many of you remember the story in Hosea where Hosea was told by God to marry Gomer, and he marries her and he takes her to be his wife, and they have children, and then they have a couple of other children, and one of them name actually become not my kin, what it means in Hebrew, not my kin. And so if you can imagine what begun to take place there, and then all of a sudden Gomer leaves. She walks away. She's not part of this family anymore. She wants to go out. And literally what she does is she becomes a prostitute. And she stands in her door in order for her to fulfill the pleasures of this world, the lusts of this world. And as the men would pass by, if you remember our Sunday school class this morning, the men would pass by. She would sit there and she would motion them in. The inexperienced, those who weren't shrewd to say no to sin, she motioned them in. And there come a point when, after her prostitution had run its course, that no one wanted her anymore. And she ended up selling herself into slavery. And when this happened, Hosea began to go and look for her. It's an amazing story. And he went out and he wanted to find her. And so he looked. And then he comes to the auction block where his former wife had allowed herself to get to. Now she's a slave and a prostitute. And she's having to sell herself in order to continue to take care of herself, or so that she'll be taken care of. And this man so loved her that when everyone began to bid on her, he ended up bidding more than anyone else. 15 shekels of silver and some grain is what he ended up bidding. And he won his wife back. He brought her home. She became the children's mother once again, and she became Hosea's wife again. It, literally what he did, if you can see this big picture, is he purchased her back. He redeemed her. Friends, this is what God the Father does to us. He redeems us. He purchases us back. We become his. And I think that is a beautiful picture. This parable is a beautiful picture of God's desire for us, isn't it? We're living in sin and we're trapped in this world, and then we can't find a way of escape. We're in bondage. We're sinking down with the ship like Ben-Hur was. There's no escape. And then all of a sudden God sends His Son. He sends His Son for us to be able to escape the chains of sin. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19. Know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. That's good, isn't it? You were bought back by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. We see that. This is what God desires for us to do. And then He adopts us in and we become a part of the family of God. I love the little story about this little girl. She went to her mom and she says, "Mama, where do we come from?" Mama looked at the little girl. She said, "Well, God created Adam and Eve in the garden years and years and years and years ago, and we came through Adam and Eve." Well, the little girl wasn't satisfied with that answer, so she went to her daddy and she said, "Daddy, where do we come from?" Daddy looked at the little girl and said, "Well, darling, we come from apes. We've evolved over years and we're human now, but that's where we come from." And so she was even more confused now than she was to begin with, and she goes back to her mama and she said, "Mama, you said we came from Adam and Eve, but Daddy said we came from apes. I don't understand." She said, "Well, honey, I was talking about our family." Yeah. So some of you, I don't know. I want you to be able to see that what God's desire for you is that you would become a part of His family. That you know that you didn't evolve from monkeys or apes or chimps or any of those animals, but that your heart evolved over time, though, as God drew you closer and closer and closer. That's what has to happen. Our hearts must evolve, and we have to at some point, as 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11 says, the last part of it, it says this, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put my childish ways behind me. That's what the last of that says. And so there comes a point as a child of God, as an heir, where you have to act like an heir. There comes a point where you have to act like a child of God. It's great to come in here for you and I to worship and to lift our hand up and praise God our Father through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful for us to be able to do those things. But when we leave here, see, that's when we are literally set apart. When we leave the comfort of our seats Sunday afternoon, that's when we are set apart. And God's Word says, listen, you will know them by their fruit. My question is, are you known by the way you live your life as a child of God, as an heir, as a son and a daughter, as a sibling? Right. And the last thing that I want to submit to you this morning, verses 6 and 7. This is so cool. This is how, this is what Paul's doing at this point, is he's helping you understand how all of this happens, how you transition from a slave to an adopted son and become a child of God. And so the scripture tells us right here, he says this, as he had talked about the Redeemer coming and adopting us as sons right there at the end of verse 5. Verse 6, he says this, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. That's good stuff, amen? Listen to what it says. Listen to this. Get it. Hold on to it. Memorize it. Take it and make it be your own. And because you are sons, because you are a child of God, this is what the Scripture says. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. But listen, evidence of that, evidence that God dwells in your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. The evidence that Jesus is your Lord and Savior is that with a voice from your body, you cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, listen to this, through Christ Jesus. It doesn't happen any other way. You do not become a child of God or God's. You can, if you want to play that game, then you can just go and you can continue to live in this world and you can worship the false deities of the world. But I'm telling you, there's only one God. There's only one. And He made Himself known to you and to me so that we would understand just how much He loved us by sending His Son. Literally, God stepped down out of the glories of heaven into a sin-ridden world. Lived a perfect life. And then the Scripture says He was spotless and had no blemish in Him. And He died on an old rugged cross. And He rose on the third day for you. And we see that as an heir. God dwells in your heart. How do you know you're a child of God? God dwells in my heart. Well, how do I know God dwells in your heart? Because I cry out, Abba, Father. Well, how do I know what Abba Father means? It means because when I live my life, you see King Jesus in me. That means that you will be known by your fruits. I desire to be a fruit bearer. Amen? What kind of tree are you going to be? What kind of fruit, what kind of life are you going to live? When you live your life through the words you say, people see God in you. People see King Jesus. People know that you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. How is that possible? Because the Scripture says that the Spirit of His Son dwells in your hearts. Wow. The Spirit of God dwells in your heart. And I don't know how many of you are here today and you're hearing something like this for the first time. But you need to understand what it means to be a part of the family of God. And we've already said that I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And many of you have said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God too. And how you become a part of the family of God is by confessing your sin. One thing we've got to understand is that sin is real. Sin is simply when we disobey God. When we do something that breaks God's heart. When we miss the mark. We confess that sin to Almighty God who loves us, who cherishes us, who desires to be in a relationship with us. We confess that sin to an Almighty God, and then we ask His Son, the perfect Son, the one who died on an old rugged cross and rose the third day, we ask Him to forgive us our sin, to come into our hearts, to come into my heart, and to be my Lord and my Savior. Romans 5 verse 5 says this, "Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Listen. Just a little bit of God doesn't live in your heart. All of God does. And if all of God lives in your heart, don't you think that the world needs to see that? And then the evidence of God living in your heart is not that you hope they see it, but they will see it. By your words, by your deeds, by the way you live your life. So today, does God dwell in your heart? Are you an heir of God through Christ Jesus our Lord? Are you a part of the family of God? Today, listen, if you're not part of the family of God, His greatest desire today is to adopt you. It's two words in the Greek. It's huio and or huios and thesia. And they come together and it means adopted child. And so today my question is, do you desire to be a part of the family of God? And if so, would you allow Him to adopt you as His son through the precious blood of Jesus? Would you do that today? You pray with me. Father in heaven, as we gather ourselves together, we thank You so much that we were able to meet with You. Where two or more have gathered in Your name, there You will be among us. And today, Father, I believe that You're here, that You're among us through the singing that we allowed ourselves to be a part of, through our prayer time, through the teaching and preaching of Your Word. I pray in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus that You receive this honor and glory. And Lord, what would bring You the most honor and the most glory today would be if a sinner who is away from You would confess their sin and their need of a Savior. And so today, blessed Lord, I ask that if there's even one soul here who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if there's one person here today who has never confessed their sin and asked You to come in and to be their Lord, then today, Father, I pray that they'll not leave here without being broken over the way they've lived their lives. Father, I ask that even for believers, they've walked down the aisle, they've said all of the right prayers, all of the right words, but they've just not shown the evidence in their lives that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. I pray for them today that there would be conviction of their sin and that they would understand their need for a Savior today. Father, break our hearts for the things of You. Help us to transition and to move ourselves through confessing of our sins and accepting You as our Lord and Savior. Help those who don't know You to move from being a slave to the things of this world to a sibling or to an heir, to being a part of the family of God. Today, Father, may You boldly move through our hearts, convicting us where conviction is needed. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? You stand. This is our invitation time. You come today.